Shall we begin?
Everybody, welcome back to Claiming Zero, the podcast for the child-free and fence-sitter community with Dallas. And not Vanessa today. This already feels weird. Vanessa has some pretty serious stuff going on, personal family stuff. And as soon as she told me, the first thing I said was, you know, if you don't want to, don't have the capacity to record, I will make something work. We even thought about skipping the week, but thought I could do this. I can do this by myself. And I'm already like freaking out a little bit about it because it just feels very strange without her. Vanessa and I think thrive on being able to like have our banter and our back and forth with each other. You know, we've really like vibe off each other, even just recording like over Zoom and stuff. So it's a little bit weird. And I said I'll do something. I didn't really know what I was gonna do. But it is a herstory week, and it was gonna be Vanessa's herstory, so I don't even have one prepared. So she's gonna do hers the next round of herstory. So I thought, oh, I don't wanna, it's a lot of research. Should I do a Reddit? No. Sometimes you just get tired of Reddit and a topic episode. I didn't, you know, that's a lot of research. It can be, especially in a guest. There's no guest. We can have Lucy on. She doesn't have much to say. But yeah, anyways. So I thought, why don't I give you a little history of me and my life so far? It's not going to be super detailed, and this is definitely going to be a shorter episode. But I, you know, it's funny. So over the past like 7 or so years, I've been a lot different as just like a person. Like, I feel like I'm a little less outgoing and I'm a little more introverted and a little more private. I know Vanessa and I share some things kind of just casually, naturally on the pod. But yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, I'll start from the beginning. Let's just do that. And let's just see what evolves and see what comes out of my mouth. And I'll be honest and as honest and candid as I can be. Don't we all deserve to relive our past? So, Dallas Faye Creighton was born on April 16th, 1985. yes, my middle name is Faye and I love it. And I think I'm named after some people, but not like famous people where you're like, oh, Faye Dunaway or whoever. It's not. And I'm very much an Aries. A lot of my traits are Aries. So good and bad. It can be very fiery. I've learned to control that a lot over the years. I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. And my mom, Stacy, and my dad, Dale, were married when they had me. And then 15 months later, they had my little brother, Ford, like the truck. And a few years after that, they got divorced. And my dad took custody of us. So we were probably in like early elementary school, maybe second grade, third grade, very young. And it was a bitter divorce. It was very, very ugly. My dad had us most of the time. And so I always just say, you know, I was raised by a single dad and he did the best he could. He had his own business, a family run business, with my grandfather. It was a welding business. So that's one of those like weird nostalgia things. Like I'll smell like welding and it takes me right back to being like at his work. And like in the summertime as kids, cause he was a single dad, like we would go to work with him. And just that smell, like, just reminds me of him and my grandpa so much. We moved here and there. I've lived in a couple of little places. I have always lived in the vicinity of, like, the Milwaukee area. So, like, southeast Wisconsin. I won't get too specific. But, and, yeah. So, I always loved dancing. My dad met my stepmom when I was in elementary school, like fourth or fifth grade, and she owned a dance studio. So I started dancing, and that's kind of where that love began. If you know me, you know that I love the arts and dance and all that kind of stuff, and that's where that started. So I danced all throughout middle school and high school. And then I graduated and I went to UW-Whitewater, a Division III school in a college town of Whitewater. Those, boy, oh boy, I loved being in a college town because it was like everything just revolved around being at college. And I got like the first semester, sorry, the first year, I got the true college experience. I went in not really knowing, like, actually, okay, this, you guys might have heard this story before. I had a really hot accounting teacher in high school. And so I was like, I like accounting. Literally went to college starting with like, I'll do like business and accounting. And then I realized very quickly, like, I suck at math and it's just not joyful to me. So I never quite knew what I wanted to do. And especially your first year of college is like, just take all the classes they force you to take and let's figure it out as we go. Because let's face it, we should not be allowing 18 year olds to decide the fate of the rest of their lives. That's just no way. Absolutely not. That was stupid. I don't do anything that I went to school for, as a lot of people don't. Anyway, so okay, so then it is September 2004. It is the first day of my sophomore year of college. And very, very early in the morning, maybe about 6 a.m., could have even been 7 a.m., my cell phone, yes, we had cell phones back then, was ringing. And I was like, college kid, right? I'm like, oh, I'm not answering the phone. It's so early. So then finally I get up and I'm like, okay, get up and get ready for class. It's the first day of sophomore year. And I have a voicemail on my phone. So I'm like, I'll just check this real quick. And it's my dad. And my dad is over a voicemail telling me that my oldest stepsister, Nicole, died in the night from cancer. She had been battling ovarian, and then it spread, but ovarian cancer for years. And I should clarify, I do have step family. So there's the younger brother Ford, and then I have a stepbrother Scott, a stepsister Katie, I'm going in age order, and then my stepsister Nicole. And so they're all quite a few years older, so we weren't like super super close, like what senior in high school wants to hang out with a middle schooler, especially someone who's like a fourth sibling. So things weren't always great when we were kids. But anyways, so he leaves me a voicemail to tell me that she dies. And I immediately start freaking out. I remember saying goodbye to her before I like went off to school for that to start that year. And so I throw just a bunch of random stuff in a bag and I speed home. I'm over an hour away, and I just remember just hauling ass and telling myself if I get pulled over, whatever, it is what it is. Like, I gotta get home. So that I took some time, like a couple weeks or whatever, and then I went back to school and I just didn't care anymore. Like, I literally could have cared less what I was doing and where I was, and I was just in a really, really, really bad place. So I did finish out my semester there, and then I actually ended up moving back to Milwaukee and transferring schools. And that is such a pivotal point in my life. It sent me on a trajectory completely different than what I ever expected. And I never even graduated from college. I kept changing majors, as I said in a recent history episode. I've been, you know, like I said, business and accounting major. I was an education major. I was a geology major. I just couldn't decide that young. I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. And I didn't know what my strengths were. I had no idea. Nobody was like honing in on those things of like, here's the things I think you're really good at that you should do. So, anyways, throughout that time, I am teaching at the dance studio that my stepmom owned, and I was loving it. Ballet, tap, jazz, contemporary, hip hop. It was really, really a lot of fun. I did that for quite a while. Like, I would say at least, I would say 10 years probably, that I did that for. And I loved it. And my stepmom throughout that time, ended up selling her dance studio to another one of the teachers. Oddly enough, my dad told her she wasn't allowed to sell it to me. Whatever. Among other things. after a while, I really started to get burned out. And having your best friend, who is also at a point your roommate and the owner of the business you work at, things got really tricky for me, and I didn't know how to deal with them in the best way and the most appropriate way. So I lashed out. I was a bad friend. And I'll leave it at that. But at that point I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not teaching dance anymore. I'm totally burnt out. It was not good for me. Was not going well for me, I should say. And so I have a cousin actually who worked on cruise ships, and she worked in the spa and she did hair and nails and that kind of stuff. And she was always traveling the world and like showing us pictures and videos. And I was like, this is what I want to do. So I called her. I'm like, how do I do it? And she was like, Google it. So those people that I've always been asking, I'm just telling you, Google it, how to work on a cruise ship, or pick a cruise ship and go to careers. Like, it's that easy. And very quickly got offered a job to work in the kids program, just because of my background teaching dance, and working on the kids camp. So I believe it was 2011, maybe December. I joined Carnival Cruise Line for the very first time. The first ship I was ever on was the Carnival Sensation. And I very, very distinctly remember walking all my suitcases, because you got to pack all your stuff, walking down the gangplank and or the gangway of the crew area, and like stepping aboard and being like, all right, here we go. It's a whole new adventure. And I had no idea what to expect, because they do not prepare you whatsoever. And it was a wild ride. So I did 6 years, which I did 6 month contracts, on different ships every contract, and then I would go home for like 1 to 2 months. And in between I would travel. I did a backpacking adventure all by myself for like 3 weeks in Southeast Asia. I had made friends that were from like Croatia and the like Balkan areas. And so I went and did like a few weeks there with them. And so I got to see some really beautiful parts of Eastern Europe. The ship itself went to a lot of the Caribbean islands. My God, if I never see Nassau, Bahamas again. it was a lot of fun though. It gave us a chance to just enjoy ourselves and be young and wild, and late nights working and then going to the crew bar and having like $3 drinks, and waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning to just start work all over again. And it, for a very long time, it was absolutely incredible. I dated people, I made really good friends, and met people from all around the world, and like really opened my eyes to just other lands, other people that are not American. And it was absolutely incredible. I'm glad I did it at a young age. Like, there would be guests on board that were like in their 50s, 60s, whatever. Oh, I always want to work on a cruise ship. Oh, how do I do that? I'm like, you can't. First of all, you have to pass a physical. Like, you have to be ready and able-bodied to save the lives of all of your guests at any moment. It's a lot of training. It was a lot of like emergency drills and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not just fun and games. You know, we all had to be ready at any point, whether we were in the crew bar, whether we were sleeping in some guy's room, or, you know, sleeping at whatever, it didn't matter. You had to be ready to go at any point. And that was really fun. Like, we all had that camaraderie, but you live and work in a very small space with all of the same people. So over the times, like, it got to be a lot. You live in a very, very tiny baby cabin with bunk beds. A lot of the times with a stranger who you'd never met, and you just have to get along with each other. And that taught me a lot. But as I was in like my early 30s, I was getting really exhausted. Like, just, it's a lot. It's 6 months straight of work. It's, you know, a little bit of sleep here and there, lots of naps. Definitely napped a lot. And we had a blast, but eventually it was like, I'm burnt out. Like, boy, this is a theme. I really started to get burnt out and I was not enjoying it as much. And I was like, well, I think this is it. I need to get back on land. And that's a scary thing when you have no home and you have no space that's all your own, because you've been on the seas for 6 years. And so you have to figure out, how do you start over? And that's where Las Vegas came in. So I tried to move home to Wisconsin, actually, for starters. And it was like the winter of 2016. Winter of 2016, end of the year there, and ice cold. It was a bad experience. The apartment I ended up renting was infested with bed bugs, and it was absolutely disgusting. And I called my mom on a whim, and I was like, I can't stay here. I got to come out and live with you in Vegas. She was like, all right. So we made it happen. And that was really helpful, because like, I could move in with my mom and just like figure it out, get it together, which, as a mid 30 something year, like that's rough. I definitely have been there. Some of you, I'm sure, have too. And yeah, so I won't talk about the relationship with me and my mom, because it's so hot and cold that I don't even like to talk about it, to be honest, especially at this point in time. Anyways, and then through a ship friend, someone she knew had a house, and so I moved in and I got to live in a house in Vegas with a pool. And then another friend of a friend is who introduced me to Vanessa, and that's how her and I became friends. I'll never forget, there was one time we went to like a sip and paint class or whatever, and the Route 91 shooting had recently happened, and so they were doing like a memorial paint thing that we got to do. And I'll never forget, Vanessa, I'm pretty sure you were late, not super late, but you were late, but your hair, it was like this long, dark hair with like, it was like a little bit purple or blue in it. Oh, and I was like, oh, and she had bangs. Oh girl, your hair was on point that day. And I was like, oh, this girl is so cool. And then we just started hanging out more and more. COVID hit, and because I had the pool and it was like spring into summer, me, Vanessa, Devin, and our friend Sydney, who is our mutual friend that introduced us, we kind of, sort of, we didn't like pod together, but we were kind of the only people that we were seeing, and they would come over and hang out in the pool. And we really made the most of COVID in Vegas, because everything was shut down. Oh my gosh, it was so eerie on the strip. Like, there was like barricades everywhere because every single hotel and casino was completely shut down, like locked up. You couldn't even go on the property. It was crazy. And that was kind of the last straw for me. I never really felt like Vegas was home. There was just something about it where I was like, I don't know that I can see myself here forever. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was just things weren't going the way I expected them to. You know, I had a handful of really good friends. Vanessa, you know, Mateo, you guys heard from very, very early in season one. And when everything shut down and I ended up losing my job, I was like, this is a sign. My sister has been trying to get me to move out to South Carolina for a while and kind of feeding it in my ear. And I was like, you know, now's the time. I saved a bunch of money and packed all my things up. And I flew across the country to South Carolina. And here I am today. That was actually 3 years ago. I've lived here for over 3 years now, and I love being here. You know, I bought my house, I have my dog, so I'm here to stay. But yeah, it feels like home now, and I've got my family. And I will say one, I'm going to admit one thing, because I know my sister doesn't listen to this. I always wanted to be really close with my sister when we were younger, and we're 8 years apart. She's older than I am. So we didn't really get along. We weren't really close. When our sister Nicole died, we were very divided. Like, you think we would like lean on each other, and it definitely didn't happen. And when I was living in Vegas, I had an appointment with an annual doctor, and they found some concerning cells on my cervix, and I had to get surgery to move them. So they ended up being the HPV precancerous cells that turn into cancer. Anyways, sorry, it's weird to talk about. It is what started the cancer and the problems with my sister Nicole. It is what killed her. So when that happened to me, I wanted my family to all know I was going in for surgery, just have that removed, make sure that there was nothing else, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. And after that is when my sister Katie really like was like, oh, I've got another sister and I don't want to lose her too. So like, let's be cool. So we got a lot closer, and that's when she kind of started to like, oh, you should move out to South Carolina. It's so great. And anyway, so here I am now, and we are definitely closer. She has a daughter and two sons, and I absolutely love them so much. And they're at an age where like they're real people now. My oldest nephew is going to be 17 in December. He's in the marching band. And oh my God, he is so freaking good. He plays the trumpet. He's such a good kid. He may or may not just kind of his first girlfriend. And then the middle one is, he loves football. He's so like cute and charming. Like he loves everybody and he's so friendly and fun. And the youngest is the baby. She is a ham. She is always dancing in the mirror. I love going to her dance recitals. Like it's one of my favorite things to get to go and like support them. Like I want to be that supportive aunt. My dad's side of the family, like my aunts and uncles, we were not close when we grew apart. I mean, when we were like little kids, I've got tons of pictures of us together at barbecues, all that stuff. We all lived together. And now my whole family is spread across the country. My younger brother, Ford, lives in Abu Dhabi. He and his wife wanted to live abroad for a little while before they decided what to do next with their lives. And they don't even know if that's kids or not. But so that's where he is, by way of Texas. My dad is in Florida. My stepbrother, Scott, is in Wisconsin. My mom is out in Vegas. So we are all over the place. So I get it. It's hard, but that's why I'm here, because I still love my family very much. Okay. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm really sorry. I said this wasn't going to be long. And then it's my history, you know, I'm 38 years old. That's 38 years of my life. And that's not even all of it. So anyways, I hope that, you guys didn't mind too much just listening to me ramble on. Vanessa, I miss you so much. And next week we're going to have our guest episode. I know we're really excited about this one. So thank you guys for listening. Real quick on the Instagram. Oh my God, Vanessa and I are still holding out hope. As far as we know, through a connection with Vanessa's sister, because of course, we think Instagram is still working on getting us back our account. So we're really holding out hope because we really want that back. But we love hearing from you guys. And so right now, claimingzeropodcast@gmail.com. And I know on Facebook, I don't access the Facebook, only Vanessa does. But at Claiming Zero, we love hearing from you guys and your ideas about the podcast and your opinions and stuff like that. Definitely let us know. Please know that if we don't take your idea, it's just because maybe it just doesn't work for us. Vanessa and I love and cherish this podcast very much. And part of that is her and I being able to do exactly what we want to do and yet still be able to connect with all of you listeners and make it a space that you enjoy and you feel good about and you feel comfortable and heard and seen and all that stuff. So definitely let us know what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And I will leave it at that. So have a great week, everybody. And that's it. Gosh, this is so weird. I can't even tell you guys. Oh my gosh. All right. Bye.